Forever.
I really hate that James has no video.
I feel like James is on the beach somewhere, and he doesn't want us to know about it.
It's like he already doesn't talk enough, and then we can't even see him to know if he's paying attention.
I have to have no video. There's nothing I can do. I tried.
Is this your first podcast? Jay, how the fuck you invite me to a podcast you didn't even show up for? Hey, look, fucking home.
I wish circumstances were different.
James on vacation. He's like, I don't want them to know I'm breaking quarantine. I get it, bro.
I'm on live right now. No one can hear you guys' side of the conversation, so this is going to be completely one-sided. and so I don't know why they listen, and so they will. I'll have to remind every viewer every couple minutes.
They're listening to like one-fourth of the conversation.
Nothing will make sense to anyone. That sounds about right.
It's perfect. It's just, they're not gonna, but like, what the fuck else is they doing? Yeah, you know what I mean? True. Like, when you, I mean, that's how boring your life is. You want to hear one fourth of this conversation and fucking do it.
That's so real. We should talk about we like to do a little cold opens. We should talk about time travel and like, I don't know, like,
for what, John? Where you going?
I'm just saying how,
what,
you know,
what point in time you won't go back to?
Listen, time travel. You can go any direction. You can go back, forward.
Hold on. Because niggas don't want to go back in time. Nobody's going back in time.
So here's my question to you guys, right? So people who don't know, you guys, what started first? You guys have a podcast, right? Mm-hmm. And then came Astronomy's Club. I'm getting the name wrong.
We were performing with Astronomy Club as an improv team in New York, and mostly at the Upright Citizens Brigade. And very shortly after that, the three of us started this podcast. So technically Astronomy Club came first.
So I'm sitting here with Astronomy Club / Naked Comedy Production.
We make all things black.
Yes. Jonathan Braylock. Here's what I love about you, man. I never know what ethnicity you're going to be. I have to wait until you don't get a haircut to figure it out.
I use that to my strategic advantage in Hollywood.
I know.
I've definitely played other ethnicities. The thing is, I'm half black, half white. My mom's Italian and Irish, which is great for when people come at me with the racist, like, Irish people had it worse, Italians had it worse kind of thing, because I'm like, I'm actually that too, so I know for a fact that they did
it. Like, I know my history.
I compare my families.
Alright, I'm going to turn this up. There's all types of people joining, and I realize I'm going to be laughing at you guys a lot, and this is just stupid.
You got to commit to the bit. You know how it is. You commit it now.
I'm in it now.
Fucking
but I
want
to promote you guys. So I'm just every 4 minutes, I'll be like, I'm talking to these guys. That'll be what I do.
Wait, I am curious, Bray. Like, for instance, if everyone had a time machine, mm-hmm. what you doing? You going back, forward?
I do.
I'm not going.
Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm.
No, it's your show. That's why I woke up early, to listen to you guys. Woke up 10 o'clock, 9:48 on a Sunday, to listen to you motherfuckers talk.
Yeah, we were.
Okay. Look, I'm going to say it. I'm seeing dinosaurs. I'm going back, okay? I'm seeing dinosaurs. I'm going to chill with dinosaurs for a little bit. Then I'm going to go forward, as far forward as I possibly can, see how everything stops. Then
how it stops.
Yes. See how everything stopped.
Then I'm gonna quit this live.
Yo, James, how would you feel if you went back in time and then found out dinosaurs didn't exist?
Look, listen. My whole entire heart, don't do this to me today.
James would be like, James would go back like before the asteroids and is like, hey man, that was made up. I feel like that would just be the most heart-wrenching thing of all.
It's just some guy named Lenny. Like, dude, it's no dinosaurs now.
Yeah, man, we live in this cave, bro. You can come over here and have some of these ribs.
Don't crash my dreams this morning, Jerome.
I'm sorry. You're right. That's my bad. The dinosaurs are there, man. You can see you some velociraptors who are small. Jurassic Park lied to everybody, James. They small.
Jurassic Park didn't lie. It's a science fiction film. Like, it's not.
I'm saying velociraptors are tiny. It's a reimagined. They tiny, James.
They got feathers. Motherfuckers got feathers. You ain't know
they
that.
They can fly, James.
They do have feathers. Yeah, that's true.
They multicolored, James. These dinosaurs is multicolored. They lie to you. They don't even want to tell you dinosaurs is colored. That's how fucked up this world is.
Like, they don't want to tell you, hey, man, nobody fuck with the T-Rex. All right, the T-Rex too brown. You know what I'm saying? He doing too much.
So you,
you know what I would do? I would go back in time with I hate to say this. This is going to sound reckless, but I'm going to say it anyway. I would go back to like the 1800s, dressed like the Punisher with guns, and I would just go on plantations and just like handle shit. And if people are like, and I'm not saying I'm going to kill people, I'm saying I'm going to handle shit. So if it needs to get messy.
Sounds like that you're saying exactly that you're going to kill.
No. I'm saying I'm going to be ready, okay?
You're going to be ready. You're going to go back.
To a plantation with machine guns. And then,
just to be ready.
Because they're going to come out here with a whip or they gun, they got a load and shit. And I'm like, oh, for real? Like Indiana Jones.
Gerard, what are you doing otherwise, though?
I want to just pimp slap a plantation owner with my gun. Just a pistol whip. Like, oh, for real? Just like
Gerard,
that.
Gerard's going there to have conversations with slaves. He's like, let's talk
this out. I'm just trying to explain to people. I'm going to be like the ghost of Christmas past. I'm going to just show up when they sleep. Be like, hey, man. Y'all might want to stop this, because if not, I got to come back.
Gerard's going to go back and be like, I think the reason you guys are acting this way is because you don't know a thing about white privilege. Let me explain this to you.
And you go and listen today.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, now, you see that? That's a microaggression. We will not tolerate that here.
But where you gonna go? You can't go to the 90s. You can't go to the 80s, the 70s, the 60s.
What's funny is before now, I always say I would not go back in time. Now I'd go back to just the Obama period. Now that's the only time I would go back to. You know what's funny? People always, because I don't know if you guys know this, but I used to be on a time travel show. And because of that, every day people would ask me.
We got that one.
Yeah, no, it's a factor. It's like meeting Monica Lewinsky. It's like,
like we know
why
we know.
Wow, we were just randomly talking about time travel.
They would ask me all the time, and I would always talk about it. It's like, that's such a white question. Like, black people don't go like, when before would wouldst right. I be? So you always have to like pick an event. There's no time. Like, I won't be anywhere for too long, right? So I always pick events like Wattstack or, you know, something like that. Like, I always pick like a cool, I always pick a cool party. Right. You know what I mean? Like, there's no just like time that I want to sit and chill, you know? Right,
exactly.
Got to keep it moving.
Yeah, we can't keep going back. I hate experiencing deja vu.
Speaking of...
come on, John. Listen, I think we got to talk about those transitions when we have a guest on the show. You can't just be saying the title like that.
I was just talking about, you know, when you replay things, it's just like, it's deja vu.
You guys review Batman, you go like, you know, last night was a dark night. Speaking of Christian Bale,
that's literally what he does.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
And the problem, Malcolm.
They're mad because they've heard it before. For them, it's just deja vu.
Don't you do it. Don't you do it.
All right, let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can't jump.
Black actors, all right.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Revolution City.
I'm always stopping people after they do something. I want to do it before they do something.
Did you shake your bottom lip like Denzel be doing?
I did.
Denzel be shaking the hell out of that bottom lip.
You can't see it, but I shook my bottom lip.
What is that from? What is that from?
It's from this movie.
It's from Deja Vu.
But I want to, before they do it.
Let me going,
that,
boy.
Is that your Denzel Washington?
It's not my Denzel impression. It's my, you know, it's my Denzel, it's my approximation, you know?
You're doing Denzel Washington.
It's my, it's my Denzel.
I just want to get this clear.
It's my Denzel.
It's Denzel Washington.
Hilarious.
You're doing the actor? You're doing the actor Denzel Washington?
Yes. That, okay. The... It's Denzel Jenkins. It's my neighbor from.
Sound like Denzel Jenkins. I want to perform things before they happen. Okay.
He perform at the theater. You know what I'm saying?
For those who don't know, my name is Jonathan Braylock.
I'm Draw Milligan,
and I'm James the Third.
Why does he do that?
Why
when he says his name? No one will ever know. We do.
Yeah, why does he say it like Steven Universe?
God.
We also have a special guest today.
Okay, wait, let me get the drums ready.
Jirai likes to do these drums.
Okay, I've never watched the show.
Oh, God.
God, you guys just do horrible impressions for the entire show?
Well, that was my...
the game of the show is horrible impressions.
killing it.
That was my drum plus the sneer.
First of all, it's a snare. Second of all, it wasn't a fucking drum. This motherfucker said, but that was almost as good as his Denzel Jenkins impression.
Malcolm Barrett, everyone.
Welcome, man. Welcome.
This is fun.
Lord.
You may know him as Rufus from Timeless. We briefly mentioned that.
I was saying, we know the show. Yeah, we know the show.
Could you just say Rittenhouse for me real quick? It'll take me back.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
We have to stop Rittenhouse.
Yes.
That's the key to acting. My boy Jonathan Slavin. I've done more than one TV show. Another one I did was Better Off Ted with my boy Johnny Slavin. And me and him that have very similar approaches to acting. He teaches acting, and he'll talk about how to be scared in a scene or some shit like that. And it'll be like, it's not that hard. He was like, you just breathe. Like you just go like this. It was just like, what? And that's it. You're scared.
That's pretty good.
Honestly, that's great.
I was residually scared. I was like, oh snap, he's scared. I'm scared now.
Yeah, it's acting's not hard like at all. Like if there's any message I can send to the viewers, acting's not that fucking hard, dude.
Just breathe. Honestly, I'm gonna try that because I always get told I'm not breathing. So maybe that's why I'm out here.
Are you not breathing when you act?
I guess not. That's why I'm on Hollywood Boulevard doing these, reenactments of Juice. I like to do the hood classics next to Superman.
On the street?
Yeah, man.
On the street?
Yeah. I go to Hollywood Boulevard, baby.
Just be saying lines from Juice on the street. Not in this climate.
New Jersey Drive. Like Menace to Society out in the streets. You know what I'm saying? Maybe
New Jersey
little...
Drive.
Yes. Yeah, giving vibes.
You know what I like about black movies? Black movies will be famous and make $8. Like, New Jersey Drive.
True.
Like, why is that movie famous? I don't even remember. I bet I got friends in it. But I don't know why that movie is famous. Why was that a landmark movie?
I think just because... Is that the one Lorenz Tate was in? I think people are like, let me see.
Wait, why is which one famous?
New Jersey Drive.
New Jersey Drive. Like, we all know that movie. Why?
Jersey Drive.
I just feel like...
good point.
There are,
why do we know that movie?
It's just because black people don't have... There were only so many movies where black people were just the
black
full
movies
cast.
Made $8. There was also only 8 black movies. So there was...
So we know all of them.
Oh, man.
And white people know none of them. I guarantee you that white people are hearing about New Jersey Drive for the first time right now.
Guys, if I could do anything, it's to teach white people about New Jersey Drive. If I can contribute anything to society during these traumatic times.
Oh, yeah. We did forget to say this is a film review podcast where we review films of leading black actors.
Yeah.
Okay, we talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
Yep.
And today we are reviewing the, I believe it's 2006 film,
that's
Deja
right.
Vu, starring Denzel Washington.
And Paula Patton.
She was in everything at one point, man. It was crazy.
You know what? She was in 4 things at one point.
Yeah. It was 2006, and she did four movies in 2006, and everybody was like, "This is it, Paula Patton. She's the one." And then it for some reason it stopped.
It was so okay. So I was actually talking about this morning with my lady woman, because I was like, "What the fuck happened to Paula Patton? Like, wasn't she like she's beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I guess talented. I haven't seen like a slew of Paula Patton movies, but like her last major ones was probably like fucking Mission Impossible and like Two Guns,
right?
And then she did like maybe two romantic, like two black romantic comedies, yeah, or like, you know, Jump romantic Broom. Comedies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jump the Broom, which I auditioned for. Hey, fuck everybody in Jump the Broom.
Here we go.
I'm probably friends with everybody in that too. Fuck everybody involved in that shit, or just the director. I don't remember who the director is, but fuck him. If I see you, it's all good. It's, you know, I just mean fuck you.
You should cast like, me. I get it.
I remember this shit because I went in there, and you know who I auditioned for? The character Malcolm from Brooklyn. And wow. At some point, I don't know if you know this, but my name is Malcolm, and I'm from Brooklyn. And at some point, the director goes, "You just don't seem like you're from Brooklyn." And I heat item for 30 whole black seconds. And I think Kim Coleman might have been the casting director. And she looks at me, she knows me, she's like, he's from Brooklyn. And I was so mad, and they got D-Ray. And I was just
like, they got D-Ray. Oh,
just say you want a nigga. Don't say I'm not from where I'm from. I'm from where I'm from. Just say I wanted it more niggerish.
Yeah. I'm looking at the photo of D-Ray right now. He's definitely got on a blazer. They got what they wanted.
Yeah, they got what they wanted.
Hey, and I remember I did Peoples. That movie made five times its budget. Our movie made a half of its budget back. So, I mean, you know, they did their thing, but, you know.
Apparently, Paula Patton was in that movie, Warcraft.
She was.
So me and my lady was talking about this, and she was like, you know what happened? Is that whole thing with Robin Thicke.
I agree. That's what I think it is.
Because that Robin Thicke thing popped off. They divorced. And then she continues to work, but like you don't notice these movies.
Yeah.
But that's also, here's the other thing about being an actor in Hollywood, a black Hollywood, Hollywood is like, motherfuckers will work. You don't always see shit, but cats work. You know what I mean? And that's like, that's the hardest part of this business. One part is to be famous, right? Mm-hmm. Or to accomplish a thing that is a landmark thing that people recognize, right? That's one small part of the business that everyone wants to attain, but what they don't understand is that it's a minutia of it. The other part is maintenance and continuing to work. And that is the hard part. It's one thing to shine, it's another to keep shining. And that's the hardest part of this business.
Right. And yeah, because people say that all the time. They'll be like, where'd this person go? It's like, they didn't go anywhere. You just stop noticing the things that they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real.
Also, the things that they're doing are maybe that not popular or whatever reason.
Yeah.
Like,
Cuba Gooding Jr. literally never had a break. He literally never had a break.
Exactly.
And people ask where he went all the time.
Right. Yeah, he said, I know, the man was in the O.J. Simpson TV show that everyone, like, people are like, oh, yeah, John Travolta, and you know, Rob, yeah, oh, yeah, Rob Schneider's still doing it.
Yeah,
Rob Schneider's
doing his thing.
David Schwimmer, he did his thing. But
Rob Schneider.
Anyway, we got to do this deja vu.
It's a turbulent time. I don't give a fuck. Can I tell you guys? Guys, you caught me at the right / wrong time. I can't tell you how much I don't give a fuck.
I love this. Because this is my thing. You've been in Hollywood making movies so long and TV shows. I'm like, I'm very interested to know, like, what is it like? Because how we're talking about Paula Patton. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like everyone's saying, people have been working. But what is it like when, like, you have a gig, you've known for a while, but yet it almost feels like you still have to go back to the rat race again? Like, I feel like Paula Patton has so many movies, but then now she's still, I'm looking at her IMDb as like, oh, she's working, but it's like the BET Plus show here or like the other thing there. And it, not to say that's a downgrade, but you were in fucking Mission Impossible. You know what I mean? Like, how does that happen? I just don't get it. Whereas like you'll see a white person in a show vanish for 4 years. Now they're in an Oscar movie out of nowhere. And you're like, wait, how the hell did you just come back like that?
I think about that all the time, man. Because here's the thing. White people, look, most public, we live in a country that's mostly white, right? So things are lean towards that, right? They have affinity towards that. You'll see a magazine with a actress who hasn't worked in 5 years, a white actress who hasn't worked, and they'll just be like, look at her. Like, or it'll be like a brand new white woman that was in one movie, and it'll be like, the It Girl. You're like, she made an indie movie. It made $7. How is she the thing? You know what I mean? But like, meanwhile, like, you got to be Beyonce or Rihanna to make the cover of some shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that's the thing, is like, it's very hard to stay relevant in an industry that will throw you away. You know what I mean? And so you have to find the work that is like interesting to you, you know, and maintain that, because it's very hard to stay relevant. You have to be a workhorse.
Yeah. Yeah. We track this, like, when we first start. We're doing a Denzel Washington movie today, and we hadn't done a lot of Denzel movies or Will Smith movies, because in the beginning of the podcast, we were like, okay, there's like 5 black actors that like people see all the time. You know, mm-hmm. There was a term in the 90s they would call, or I guess maybe even 80s, they would be like crossover stars, right? Like Eddie Murphy, mm-hmm. like, oh, this person can appeal to black and white audiences. But like all other, like so many other leading black actors, they would be like, yeah, like they just appeal to black people, though. Like they would just write them off. So even if people had a big hit or starring in a bunch of films, you would see them come and go. And then that's why you have like so many of these things. Because we were like, yeah, what's a movie in which a black person is a star of, like a time travel movie? And like, of course, it's like Denzel with this, and then like Will Smith with like Men in Black 3. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like the same.
And then there's what is it? Time Jumpers or Time Stoppers or something like that, where there's a black guy. Oh. There's a black guy in that. I haven't seen that black guy before or after that movie, and I don't think I've actually seen that movie, to be honest. Not
right. Wait, was that the one with Hayden Christensen as well, or no? You're talking about a different one.
No, that's
this was a new black dude.
That's not Looper. It's you look like you the ghost of a black woman just walked behind Gerard or something like that.
The ghost of a black woman.
Whoa, I haven't seen this movie.
This is a Paranormal Activity in his house.
There's a movie called Time Jumper.
Yeah, Time Jumpers. And are you talking about Samuel Evans?
Who
is this guy?
From Time Jumpers.
this movie's
only a couple years old, though, right?
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, like 2 years ago. Time Jumpers.
This is the one.
Oh, I thought I made that one up. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, you're right, James. Samuel D. Evans.
You didn't make it up. It's a real movie. It does
star
black.
Oh, I'm thinking of some other movie, but who is this?
Wait, I've seen this movie, actually. I think I have. Yeah,
this movie got a black kid with a high top fade, and he was going back in time. What?
Oh shit! I've never heard of this. This movie. What the fuck movie is it? Guys, I made that title up.
You made it up, and it's an exact movie with a black dude in it. But I've never heard of it ever. I don't think this was a major.
No. I think I've seen. I don't think it was major.
I tried to look it up at the Box Office Mojo, and they said what they actually, the search results said, what the fuck you talking about? I'm reading the search results.
That's what they say on Google.
That's what it said.
Wow, this is crazy. This is a real movie.
Guys, I love that I made up a time travel movie about an unknown black guy.
and it exists.
Honestly, can I tell you what just happened?
That's progress.
I made it up. This was like a Bill and Ted thing. The movie didn't exist, right? The movie didn't exist. This is deja vu. The movie didn't exist. But I talked about it, and now I exist because later on I'm going to make the movie.
Right.
You're the director of the movie.
I'm the director of the movie. But I don't want to fuck up the time loops.
Right. So you change your name.
I've seen the short this is based on. It's a really good short. I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen the short it's based on. I really like it.
God.
Honestly, James, no one cares.
I know. Malcolm, I know.
All right.
Wow.
We haven't talked about this.
Do your viewers know that we can't see Wendell?
Like, I mean, no one can see James. We never see James. James hides from us on purpose. Yeah. James is at the beach, I'm telling you.
It's true.
Let me just talk about what this
is. Oh, sorry, the movie.
Sorry. Hey, guys, just so you guys know, if you've ever seen any show I've guested on, I'm huge on tangents, never stay on topic. It's never going to work.
It works for us, Malcolm. No, it actually works for this show.
Again, literally never seen your show. And so I don't know how it works, and I don't care. But I'm here for you. Let's be black and men together.
Fully appropriate.
that makes perfect sense for what we do
here. For those who don't know, Deja Vu is about an ATF agent. Don't see a lot of those in starring in films. an ATF agent is investigating a bombing of a ferry that a bunch of Navy sailors were on with their families. And during the course of this, he basically gets contacted by these FBI agents who are like, hey, can you help us look at some surveillance stuff? And he slowly realizes what they're looking at is some machine.
Boring.
Back no, into sorry. Time. It's already, we already lost.
I'm sorry. I have ADD.
Yes. So that's what we got here.
But then there's a love story part to it.
There's a love story part to it, which we definitely need to talk about.
Okay. So this is great. Yeah. I just watched this movie last night / also this morning.
Yeah, respect. James.
Too. And yeah. And what's great is this is what I love about Hollywood movies. It's an ATF agent who is who's investigating an explosion at a ferry, and in the course of this investigation, these higher ups who are taking it over, he realizes that they have this sort of what they believe to be a satellite device turns out to actually be a sort of time machine, a pseudo time machine. And so if you look at it, when Denzel was promoting the movie, he would always talk about it not being science fiction, but science fact or something like that. He was coining some term at the time, because when you watch the movie, it's one of those sci-fi movies that doesn't really, the glossiness of what we're used to is lasers and me next to a dinosaur, right? But really it's just about the sci-fi of the technology and recreating this. And he doesn't actually travel through time until the last 10 minutes of the movie, which is sort of crazy. Yeah. And then he's ATF agent, which is crazy. That's also a thing.
Who wants to be an ATF agent? Really?
Yeah.
I just love that alcohol, tobacco, and firearms are grouped together. Because I feel like if I started a rap group, we would have been called ATF.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's not an agency. That's a gangster rap group in the 80s. Yo, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, bitch!
Hollywood is shut down. All production has stopped, and funding for new projects is tough to come by. There has never been a better time to talk through the entertainment industry's issues and try to reimagine Hollywood. And that's what Hollywood the Sequel, a new podcast from LAS Studios, will be doing.
Listen as journalist John Horn talks to some of the most important and up-and-coming actors, producers, and directors about what we can expect the future of Hollywood to look like. And more importantly, how it should look.
Will there be greater representation for women, for people of color? Will there be a return to the small and intimate movie? Would there be a permanent shift towards streaming and away from movie theaters? Are YouTube, TikTok, and podcasts reshaping the media landscape once and for all? Can movie theaters rebound from shutdown with streaming and social distances as a norm?
As Hollywood the Sequel asks these questions and more, this limited run series will spark an ongoing conversation about how to use the current crisis as an opportunity to fix the entertainment industry's fault lines.
Stay tuned after this episode for an exclusive Hollywood the Sequel trailer.
Available June 23rd. Download Hollywood the Sequel for free at laist.com/Hollywood the Sequel or wherever you listen to podcasts. That's laist.com/Hollywood the Sequel.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
It's Alice.
And I'm Veronica from Treks in the City. We are two women who are nerds and we love Star Trek and love talking about it.
That's right.
But we're not exclusive like that.
No, we're not those kind of fans. We're cool ones.
Chill.
Sexy, young, and also old.
Treks and the City. The city part means we talk about anything.
Which is our right, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah.
I just need you to understand that we have great guests.
We have the dumbest bits.
And songs.
Some sometimes.
And we talk about Deanna Troi in a way that she has deserved for her whole career.
Fully underdeveloped character.
So come on over to Treks in the City.
Only on the Forever Dog Podcast Network.
New episodes out every Monday.
Woo!
Woo!
All right, let's do initial thoughts. Like, what was your initial thoughts? Did you like?
Oh yeah, this is, you guys sent me the format of your show.
It's all right. You don't need to.
This is it. This is it. Right.
This is how I just try to follow the format, and most people say,
"Are you reading it?" Yeah, that's the Irish side of you trying to keep shit in line.
We did
a 23andMe before the show started. I'm not going to be helpful at all during it.
Well, what'd
Gerard,
you think?
Are you checking text messages? Nigga, you wearing a do-rag and checking text messages? Is this your show?
Listen, I'm working on a Black Lives Matter project, and I told them I had to record, and they're asking me questions, and they don't understand that the podcast also helps Black representation. So I'm literally sending a response right now. Yes, it's a podcast, but it focuses on Black issues. So I'm sending that to
you're explaining the podcast.
So I'm explaining
you're trying to justify the work you're doing outside of work.
Yeah, so I'm like, hey, I can't take this call because we're dealing with Black shit too. So, you know.
So guys, I'm super glad to be on this podcast when you have to explain to people that you're doing the podcast while you're doing the podcast.
Look, this is the world, man. No one cares about the plight, okay? Black people gotta help on so many different levels.
Who knit that sweater? Who did that?
I got this
made that fucking hoodie?
I got this from an Astronomy Club show, and it's so warm but also so breathable at the same time.
Wow.
I can't tell if it's appropriation, so I don't wear it outside.
Appropriation of what?
I don't know.
Pride?
Well, I wore it once and someone said, oh, have you been to Mexico? And I was like, no. And they were like, oh. And after that, I was like, oh, maybe this is not something that...
I love how thoughtful you were in response to that question. Someone was literally just asking about your travel plans, and you're like, fuck, man, I don't want to disrespect Mexico.
I can't tell.
That's so weird. Like, if you didn't go to Mexico, like, if you went to Mexico, it would have been okay.
Look, man, I don't know... what to do anymore. I just try my best not to offend people.
Oh, man.
They thought you were like a white girl that got braids from the Caribbean. They were like, oh, okay. Were you recently
in Tenochtitlan? I just went to Compton and got these braids. okay. Okay, Catherine. Okay. Okay.
I keep forgetting, is your show visual?
No. Oh, wait. I do have one initial thought I want to say about this movie.
Okay, go ahead.
I saw this movie once, and I saw it. This is about to be real Black, but I gotta say it. I had met I had seen my real dad for the second time in my life, and we went to go see this movie.
No way.
I don't know why we saw this movie, and we didn't like go have dinner to talk, but we saw Deja Vu, and then I think we may have got like ice cream, and that was it. For like the next 6-7 years. Like
I love how you preface this by saying this is gonna sound real Black, and it had to do with you seeing your father for the second time.
That's so sad. This is
2006, and it's like, again, I don't know why we saw this movie, but I think it was in a mall, and we walked around the mall for a little bit, talked, and then it was like, do you want to see a movie? And we saw Deja.
Well, you saw this movie because it was the Denzel movie that was out. Right. Like,
I just loved it. It's like, hey, when's the last time you seen your son? Okay, when did Deja Vu come out?
Yo, that's so real. That's so real.
Oh, my God. But what did you think of it then?
I remember thinking, I honestly watched the movie, I had a flash. I remember thinking, one, this was an awkward ass situation to be in. I'm sitting next to you. I got my own popcorn. We're not even sharing popcorn. It's so funny. We had two separate popcorns.
Who bought your popcorn?
Oh, I wasn't paying for that, John. I was like, nigga.
Yeah, at least
you get this popcorn.
We're not going to share popcorn, but you're going to buy my popcorn.
The least you can do is buy me my own.
First off, I remember that. And also, I remember the part. There was a part in this movie where they're looking at what's her name? Oh my goodness. I can't think of it. Paula Patton. And like, she's showering or some shit. And then he goes, I remember this. Well, that's creepy. And I was like, good for you, woke Black dude. That is creepy. I remember nodding, being like, huh.
My dad is socially conscious.
Okay. Okay.
I don't really know him like that.
I don't know him, but you know, I'm happy to know you're not a creep. Well, now you guys have been a part of my life.
Hey, he had my dad left too, if that feels okay. If that's all right with you. If that helps.
Man, I don't know. If that helps, honestly, it does help.
Yeah, he wasn't around a lot. He was light skinned as shit too.
I don't know what that has to do with anything. Just so everybody know, just so you got the picture in your head.
It ain't just dark skinned niggas. It ain't just dark skinned people leaving. Yeah. Light skinned niggas too. All of them do it.
Yeah. All niggas matter.
Yo, wait. Man. Have we talked about for real the movie yet? Like, what time?
Oh, yeah, here's my problem.
What you think about it, Malcolm?
Oh, I fucking love Deja Vu. I really serious. With Deja Vu, right, is directed by Tony Scott, right, Ridley Scott's brother. And
rest in peace.
It's one of those movies. It's like if Michael Bay cared.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like one of those movies. It's so weird because it does a lot of these shots that are not traditional shots. Like they do a lot of shots that feel like voyeuristic. You know what I mean? These sort of side shots. It's not just like close-up medium. It's a lot of side shots with random zooming in and out. A lot of close-ups on action and cutting into that action and sort of doubling. And so it's interesting how the movie is made cinematically. It's actually a really good movie, cinematically speaking. It's great. It's fun. The colorization of it, like it's really good. I really like it. It does fall into that Hollywood trope of if there's a leading man and a leading woman, because Paula Patton's kind of support. She's not even really a lead in it.
Not
she's
in this
just,
movie. Yeah.
No.
She's actually. What's funny is like you probably call her the lead or the supporting woman, but really she's just like a woman. She's just like one of two women in the movie with lines.
That's
you know,
so true.
But they fall into the Hollywood trope of they have to be romantic, which is so weird. It's so weird because the first time that Denzel Washington sees Paula Patton, she's fucking dead.
She's a corpse.
She's a corpse. But the music, the piano plays, and he's looking at her. And he
says something to her, right?
He calls her beautiful.
He says she's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, yeah.
Yeah, here's the thing. Okay, so I come from, I'm from Brooklyn. My granddaddy ran Barrett and Saunders funeral parlor. He had a couple funeral parlors, right? No one looks like that when they're dead. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
And two, we had a guy that I feel like would have said, hey, she looks beautiful. He was a weird guy. So it's super weird because Hollywood falls into that trope of like, they obviously wanted it to be like, and also she's like burnt to death, theoretically, in
it
too.
Yes,
and
she's burnt.
And has like her fingers chopped up. I mean, she also was found like pulled out of the river. So like, there's no way she looks like
that. She looks fucking amazing. Like, here's the thing. I live in an apartment and bathe regularly and feel all right today, and I will never look as good as burnt up, drowned Paula Patton at the beginning of Deja Vu.
Nope, makes no sense. Also, there's certain parts about it that is just so creepy because you see him like gives Denzel like a bunch of photos. I need you to care. I'm like, cool, got it. But then when Denzel starts looking at her throughout the whole life, there is no way. One, is it bad that I was watching this movie that I was like, there's no way a black dude can get away with all this? Like, they're like, hey, so where should we look to find the bomber? Hey, let's go stalk out that beautiful black woman. This is the key. There is no way. There is no way this room full of white people and one black woman gonna go, yeah, let's follow this hot black chick for like hours. Hours they were doing this, watching her like go on phone calls.
They had no clue. Like they did not know where to look, and they were like,
"This
is
only lead."
You know, whatever he says, we're gonna follow. Right. Like they went to him because they didn't know what to do. Like
they wasn't gonna go to him at first. They wanted to find.
They weren't gonna go to him at first. They weren't.
I gotta read this thing on Wikipedia. It says that that these guys who wrote this, they had the idea for a film. Where it was just like a cop looking back and he was trying to investigate his girlfriend's murder. And then as they were talking more about it, they were like, wait, This guy says, I had an explosive kind of epiphany. No, he should fall in love with her while he's watching the last few days of her life. So this is that guy. That dude's weird fantasy.
The thing I didn't like was how, like, he was so, like, he would just touch everything. Like, before we even get to the scene where they're like, your fingerprints are all over the place, he's like, he's touching her. He's like touching her lips, her dead body. Like, and it's supposed to be romantic and like, oh, look, that's when he's touching her and falling for her. But it was like, no, what? That's a dead body. Like,
right.
Yeah, it's weird because so near the end of the movie, they finally meet. Spoiler alert! For people who hasn't seen 2006 Deja Vu, they finally meet, and like there's a whole thing where like he saves her from Jim Caviezel, mm-hmm. Not his character, the actual actor. and then. Why is there music? Okay, sorry. There's suddenly I'm playing RJD2 in my headphones. I don't know if you guys can hear it.
No.
But like straight revolution music is happening right now. But they meet and he gets her and then they're alone for like 2 seconds and then they're at the ferry trying to get back to Jim Caviezel and they look at each other and he just kisses her and leaves. Like, but it's not even like a deep look. He's like, and then he leaves. And it's just
and
like,
she looks like...
Yeah, like, but
why'd
I'm
you
like,
leave?
Y'all met like an hour ago. Yo, like, Tessa, how did this?
my wife was watching this movie with me. And she was so mad. She was just like, "What? No, ew! Why would he?" And like the whole time too, before she was like, "I don't know you." Like she had a gun on him.
She was
literally
just bound,
30 minutes before
gagged. She had a bag over her head. She didn't know. What was going on?
And then nothing romantic about
that. But that
kiss is walking through her house. He's walking through her house, knows where her alcohol and shit is going in the closet where her boyfriend left clothes. You should, off break, this is how I know the movie was fake. Because let me walk into any woman's house right now, especially a black woman who like who's just went through a traumatic experience and I know where shit is and she ain't never met me. I'm shot, bruh. And I deserve it at that point.
Yeah.
I don't need to be in your house, in your fridge, in your cabinets, in your closets.
Pick up a black woman's purse. Now, you're telling me you can't touch a black woman's purse. Aretha Franklin won't leave her purse around you. You're just going to go in this lady's cabinets?
In the cabinets. I remember one time my aunt was like, go grab something out my purse, right? I think I wanted some gum or something like that. And I went to go get it. And my other cousin, who's like auntie age, so I called her auntie too, because you know how we do. She was like, boy, don't be going in a black woman's purse. I was like, no, she said get the gum. She's like, that is so disrespectful. She's setting you up. It was a test, and you have failed. Put that purse down and go downstairs. And I was like, wait, what just happened? Like, was I tricked? Am I now not a good black kid?
I will never touch a black. It, even if a black woman tells me, "Yes," in my purse, I go, "Okay." I talk to a black woman in person the same way I do cops. I go like, "Hey, I'm going into your purse. You told me it was okay. I'm putting my right hand into the purse.
Okay? I'm not touching around, really. I don't feel nothing.
I don't know what else is in here. I don't want nothing else. I'm just getting Tic Tacs. Okay, I got the Tic Tacs. Can I leave, please?
It was legit. This movie was so creepy. And then even at the end, we already jumping around, but it's like, I knew he was going to come back. First off, his death, I want to say this, was the most pointless death ever. Because I was like, I still was so confused about like how he technically died. And I was like, he didn't need to die. That scene he didn't need to die.
To be fair, I don't know how they lived. There's truck that has a bunch of bombs in it that we've seen in the beginning of the movie blow up an entire ferry, get shot up maybe 12 times, and then dumped in the river, and then hit by the boat, and it still doesn't explode.
Actually, you know what?
Until the timer goes off.
And she still somehow swims far enough away. Right, that like that she doesn't get caught up in the explosion herself.
Yeah.
Also, she's bound and gagged, and this bound and gag woman who's been through a whole lot of shit makes her way and swims through it. Meanwhile, the trained ATF agent
he's like,
I'm fucked, man.
Yeah, but this is my theory with Deja. I do like the movie, though. The end was like, and the romance stuff is weird. But this is how I justify it. I don't think it's right, but this is how I justify it. He must have, like, not been in love with her at first, but did this cycle so many times that through the cycle, his, like, consciousness or, like, subconsciousness was falling in love with her. Like,
I'm excited by this theory. What do you mean by the cycle?
So I think that, like, clear, like, so, you know, they kind of, when we first see him and he goes to the house, we see on the refrigerator, you can save her. And then at the end of the movie, we realize that's him that did it. So we know he's done it at least once before. But my thinking is he's like, for whatever reason, went back and maybe at first was just trying to stop the fairy. You know what I mean? But like in the course of trying to stop the fairy, you know, all this stuff happened with her. And as he did it again, like, whatever, maybe he dies. The only thing that doesn't make sense is like somehow his like body would continually have to like disappear, but he could maybe just keep getting to the ferry and then dying on the ferry, right? And so his body would be in the ocean. So like,
I'm confused.
Theoretically, if they went to the bottom of the ocean, they could find a bunch of Denzel corpses. Just
a
his
bunch
character.
Of Denzels.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I love that theory, especially just because, like, if the fairy explodes, right? If the fairy explodes in one timeline, then he has failed. He has failed in other timelines,
right?
Yeah. Right, like in a timeline where all of those things happen that happened at the beginning of the movie that are connected to this time loop that he is in. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons. I actually super love this movie. I was excited about this movie because, you know, it is one of the few. Here's the other thing. You don't have a lot of black people in sci-fi, which True. Makes zero sense because we're not, there's not less black people like as time progresses.
Right.
Like,
right.
So it's just
we should
weird
be moving to the forefront.
Yeah, it's super weird where it's one of those things that's like, oh, that's because there's white people in Hollywood and that's who's making the movies. Like, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, an actor friend of mine years ago. I'm not going to say a bunch of names, but like, I mean, we were talking about war movies and I was like, I love this dude, but I was like, he never has black people in his war movies. And he was like, well, you know, in the next war or something like that, you know, when they get to civil war or something like that. And I was like, we fought in all the wars, my dude.
Every
like
war.
We weren't fighting. We weren't always, we were segregated a lot of times, some of the time, but we're in every war.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
The so revolutionary
like
war.
There's every not since we got here, we've been fighting. It's not like there wasn't ones where we sat it out. You know what I mean? And so it's a weird thing, but he believes that because that's what he saw in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a lot more people that see movies than read books. You know what I mean? Or the in terms of history, in terms of knowing about history.
Exactly.
And so it's a very frustrating thing because, you know, we wind up having these conversations in and out of Hollywood with people who don't know anything about history and don't know how we got here and what's going on. And people are making the same faulty arguments over and over and over again. And just to bring it to the current climate and not help your TV show at all or podcast, it's like I tweeted something where I went, imagine seeing a stop police brutality. Imagine being a time traveler. Seeing a stop police brutality sign and not knowing what year it is. You know what I mean?
Yes, like, that's crazy. Like,
it's crazy. Yeah. So when white folks suddenly become aware of things or ask, how do we do this? It's just like, hey, man, we've been telling you this shit for years. Why are you asking questions about shit that's ingrained in us?
Especially since you got Google.
Yo, like, Google is tight, my dude. Google is this shit.
I've really been telling people recently, like, and they're like, well, what about the? I wrote this whole like tweet thread where it's like, look, if you have like, I'm not racist, but, and whatever your question is, I swear you can go on Google and say, why do black people, and put whatever racist thing you think black people do and you don't understand, and you'll find out about it. Like, yeah, you'll learn about all the different automatic ways systemic racism.
I got asked to do a podcast the other day, or a thing where someone was like, hey, do you have any racist experiences in Hollywood that you want to share or put on record? And I thought about it for a second, and then I went, no. And this was the reason. I'm done telling white people that racism exists. I'm done. If you haven't noticed by now, it's because you don't care. Right. So I no longer care to tell you. I was on Twitter the other day, and I'm sure this is a great review of Deja Vu. I was on Twitter the other day, and it was like, you know, in reference to all the protests that are going on, someone had some sort of notes that they added me at, where it was like, well, why are black people doing this? And what's with the riots? And what's this? Blah, 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 blah. Right? And as black people, I don't fucking know you guys, but we've had these conversations during every civil rights movement. The same people go, the same people respond to the agitators and how agitated they are, but they don't respond to the message. And that's always going to happen. So what I did was I wrote a 6-point thing where I addressed a number of issues, and the sixth one was suck my dick. Because you know why? I'm done. You don't care. You don't care. Here's a bunch of science, but also suck my dick. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I'm done.
I mean, that's so interesting because, you know, I'm not saying this, Malcolm, is the person you're alluding to, but I guess I'll say it. Like, my stepfather watches a bunch of war movies, and every time we watch a Steven Spielberg war movie or Band of Brothers, there's never, and I mean this wholeheartedly, there's never a black soldier.
Makes like, no fucking never, sense.
Never. And it's so crazy. I'm going to say it again. Watch Band of Brothers. The mini series, they don't interact with another black soldier.
No.
Like,
no. Remember never. Cold Mountain? They made Cold Mountain as a movie about the Civil War. There's no black people in it.
Not one. It's
what
about
the fuck
a love
y'all
story.
Talk about?
It's about a love story. It's like it's a Confederate in it. I'm like, what are we doing?
But Nicole Kidman, though. But Nicole Kidman,
they will make more movies about Confederate soldiers than they will about black people beating these Confederate soldiers. We need more shooting these Confederate soldiers movies.
But I think that's
I know,
think
and we talked about it because we did Glory. Like, we reviewed Glory, and then when we reviewed it, when we went back and, like, watched this movie again, we were like, oh, wait, this whole movie's about Matthew Broderick? Like, it wasn't even about the black soldiers.
No.
Like,
I mean,
everybody remembers Denzel's tear, but that dude was a supporting character.
Morgan Freeman.
How many schools, for real, how many schools are named after black soldiers from the Civil War who fought for black people? People are now starting to tear down all of the, first of all, I want to say this, multiple schools are named after Robert E. Lee, all right? One of the biggest Confederates. Technically, I know white people would be like, oh man, you know, the rebels. No. These were people who did not like America and didn't like
literally
where America
traitors.
Was going. The big,
the
anti-American.
Definition of traitors.
Yeah. Anti-American, right? Literally, and I'm like, they have multiple schools. So when I watch these movies, I just listen to Michael B. Jordan's, like, written speech, no shade to him, his written speech from Hollywood yesterday calling for Hollywood to actually, like, stop just doing these tweets, but, like, hire black people. Like, hire them behind the camera and hire them in executive offices. And it's so interesting because, again, like, I'm working on a project now, and it's run by all white people, and it's very frustrating because we're having these arguments where it's like you're still not listening to what the very few black people on this call are saying. And so when I watch these movies, I'm like, it's a reason we don't see the black soldiers, because we technically don't exist in a way that is, what's the best way to put it? Positive. You know what I mean? Like, I saw like someone's, to them. It's like, if anything, we may be a passerby. We may be someone who helps assist the white person who is the lead saving the day. I mean, even I'm looking at Ice-T talk about, like, how he is on Law & Order. Like, yeah, he's one of the main cops. But the lead cops are not black people. We used to follow two white people, save the day each episode. And he was the rebel cop who helped them out, if you will. You know what I mean? It's like, we just perpetuate the same shit.
Yeah, it's the same shit. And also, you know, here's the thing. I'm probably going to do this tomorrow, but it's just like, look, man, your great granddaddy was a Nazi.
Well, yes,
he was a slave master. But you're okay with that because white supremacy said slave masters are better than Nazis. And you have more nostalgia and it's so close to you that you can't address it. But you're Nazis. Like all of the South, and I'll say it, I don't know who my audience is, you're fucking Nazis. You know what I mean? Like you killed and enslaved people and you think you're better than the Germans in World War II? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you don't want to feel bad about it. Like,
you don't want to feel bad.
That's everything we're dealing with right now. It's like, man, I feel like this could easily be handled if you just realized, hey, yeah, it may not have been me. My grandma still says some racist shit. We gotta check her, you know. And I'm checking her on every chance I get, and then we will move on amicably. You know what I mean? And then even watching this movie is like, I was thinking about, hey, I wonder if Denzel was what the writers had in mind. You know, because he's doing a lot of stuff where I feel like it's hard for me because, like, even though he doesn't have, like, a badge always out, he is moving as though he does. And I feel like a black person has to show their credentials as they're just doing so much shit. Like, when he's speeding down in the truck with Paula Patton and he's, like, down where the cars are on the boat, I'm like, these are moments where, like, I feel like a black dude would get arrested. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you look too suspicious where, like, you can't move this freely. And I just could not take his race out of this movie. And it's fucked up, but I just couldn't do it. I'm happy it wasn't a big deal, but I couldn't take it out because I just realized you can't move like that when you're black. Like, the fact that we're in this state because a black dude may have used a fake check. A black kid was jogging peacefully. You know what I mean? Like a woman was sleep in her home. Like we can't move the same way. So it's hard for me to watch movies where that is ignored completely.
Yeah. You know my I mean? My wife and I were talking about the same thing. And I watching it now in light of what's going on today, as if it hasn't always been going on, but in light of what's happening outside my door right now, like it was like wild. And I was thankful for like the me in 2006 getting to watch this movie, you know, just out of high school and, you know, a couple years into college, like watching Denzel Washington just fucking go around and be like, yeah, like I'm smarter than everybody in the room. I can drive this car recklessly on the wrong side of the
road. My goodness. You know what I mean?
Like, you know, the thing about it that's also sad is that, like, you know, we would only see Denzel would get to play a role like that, you know, like, yeah. It's not like you can't see any black person playing a role like that. Like Denzel, though, he gets a pass.
Right.
Well, and then that's the thing, right? Like we make these films and that's why representation is important, but also behind the scenes shit is important. Is that basically you see a certain star rises and all of a sudden we do wind up representing whole swaths of communities. Right. That we shouldn't be. Right. But they find their favorites and all of a sudden you see this is possible. It's only because Denzel did his thing and became so palatable that we were able to see these things, which is, you know, it's uplifting and frustrating at the same time where you're like, OK, they have to see us. So now we get a Civil War movie that stars a black guy, even though history, there's black people in it. Right. Do you know what I mean? So we just don't get the product until they like the product makers, you know? And right. So it's a frustrating, recurring theme in the success of minorities in America, you know, which is that when they find a favorite, then we get to show who we actually are. And it's very frustrating because we shouldn't have to do that. It's obvious and it's clear.
Ugh, right. Wait, this may be a random question, but wasn't Jim Caviezel, wasn't he Jesus?
He was so, Jesus.
Check this out. This is my...
Like, wasn't it Jesus?
And he's the bomber in this.
Yeah, he was. So they, because I read trivia for literally every movie I ever see. And according to this, Tony Scott had shirts made that said, like, we have Malcolm X, Jesus, and Jim Morrison. How can we lose?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. He did.
He's going to be Jesus again, right? Like, there's another one coming out? Or it did come out?
Oh, it is. It is come out in 2021.
Yeah, the sequel.
The Passion of
the Christ 2. The Passion of the Christ 2, legitimately.
No, it's called The Passion of the Christ 2, Resurrection.
I'm not even Thomas personal.
I have a question about this movie, his character in this movie. Didn't it seem like he, like, somewhat understood what was happening with the time travel stuff? Like, that time when where Denzel's chasing him with the goggles on. And then they like stop and they're like, look, he's like looking at him. And he's like, I'm looking right at him. And it, like, what was that all about?
He didn't see what was going on, but there's this weird thing. So this is where the movie's weird, right? And they hedge their bets a little bit because Denzel is watching the thing. And at some point he takes the little laser and shines it at something and
shines it through the thing that they're looking
at. Yeah, and it actually affects what's going on there, like a cat moves or something and reacts to it. So I think it was alluding to the fact that like they are actually able to in some way interact with that time period, but they're not very clear on exactly how that's working. So yeah, it's weird, man.
It's scary. I don't know if this is true, but this is my like multiple times theory. Like if he has done this many, many times before, it's possible that in one of these times or in a few of these times, he like went to Jim Caviezel and was like, I know exactly what you're going to do, blah, blah, blah. I'm from the future, whatever it is, like tried to use that and still died. And like, the Jim Caviezel that we interact with in this movie, even though he doesn't know yet because it hasn't happened yet, there's still this like, hey man, I have this sense and this feeling like you're going to keep trying, but it's not enough. Like whatever your actions are that you're doing, it's not enough to change like what's written, like what's destiny. Because like that's one of the themes of this movie is like, can you change like the past, I guess. Like, can you affect the future or something?
Hey, man, I just realized that they touch on it, but they don't address it, really. Jim Caviezel fed his partner to an alligator, yo. Like, that's some savage shit.
That was wild.
I was like, yo.
And he just left it there because he was like, damn, but I ain't got time to deal with this right now.
Yeah, it was like, it was such a quick thing. They led that breadcrumb of like, where's the partner? He's on vacation. Where's the partner? And then we finally see him. We see him die. And then we see his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I guess the thing about this movie is like, I kind of like that we really don't get a breakdown of how the time travel works. I feel like that always gets very confusing and just like, you can poke holes in it really quickly.
It's never helpful.
Yeah. It's like, I'm happy we didn't deal with that.
The way that they do it, I think is pretty cool. Like, it's also funny because it's very standard, like Hollywood script. But the acting was so good that it worked really well. Where like you have Adam, I think it's like Adam.
The second he picks up the paper, I was just like, this scene is in every time travel movie.
Every time travel movie. There's a scene like that on
Timeless where closed time like curve where he takes a paper. My man Patterson. And
you
I was like,
time like
it's great. I was like, this is great, man. Act the fuck out of this shit.
and Denzel's like, so you're talking like I said, tell me what about. I didn't say speak. PhD, whatever. He literally said something like, don't talk PhD to me.
Yeah.
Oh, that
was I'm gonna talk slowly so the people with the PhD can understand what the fuck I'm saying.
Yo. Fucking.
And then,
genius.
But like, if you have a PhD, like, the thing that the scientist, like, the actor scientist says is, like, actually extremely rudimentary, and they're just like, what? That you didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Here's the thing, quantum theory.
Here's the thing, though. There's a hole. Excuse me. There's a hole in every time travel show movie ever, because one, it's not possible. It's not currently possible. And man, that's it, man. It's not possible.
Factual.
Yeah, exactly right. But yeah, it was like a fun little scene where Denzel just like freaks out, and that's where the line
I love it from.
I mean, also watching him like throw stuff. Okay, I'm not gonna lie to you. when he started throwing stuff, I was like, first off, bro, I get your point, but maybe there was a better way to make this point, because you didn't know if you were breaking shit. Like, I'm like, you don't know if they, like, what you're doing is messing up everything, period.
I mean, he breaks a full, he breaks a monitor. I'm like, he doesn't know what that monitor does.
Exactly. You don't know how this works, man. Like, how you just...
This monitor is broken.
You don't know what this shit does.
Yeah, I was trying to find the line. The line was like, he was like, because they were like, he was like, well, where is it? I can't see it. And he's like, you can't see it, but it exists. Just like cell phone signals and like radio waves. And he's like, listen, I don't know how a cell phone works, but I know how to use it. So how do I use this?
Yeah. I love it.
The thing is, you have to understand, like, Denzel sold that line. Like, that line is not a good line. It's just like, it's such, but he, like, completely sold it. Yeah.
There's one thing I want to say about Denzel. Yeah. And it's, go ahead. And I mean this as a compliment. Denzel has the same.
Denzel? Where the fuck are you from? Why you talk funny?
It's the southern in me.
Wait, what part of what South are you?
See,
from?
I'm from DC, but all our family's from like North Carolina,
that's
South
not
Carolina.
The South.
But DC is the South. It's below the Mason-Dixon line. So we technically southern.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's like, all right. He's like, all right, nigga, whatever you say.
No, look, watch it. I don't know how geography works, but how do I use it?
Watching Denzel in this movie, right? Denzel, this has nothing to do with anything. It's definitely a tangent. But Denzel's clothing style in every movie feels the same as Adam Sandler's clothing style in every movie, which is like just oversized and just comfortable for no reason. Like, no matter what Denzel movie is, aside from Training Day, it's just like big Hawaiian shirts. You know what I'm saying? Some really baggy Dockers. Jeans. It's just like... Like, he is your coach. He is like every person's high school coach that just did any team. Could be debate team. He just showed up with coffee. You know what I mean? It could be the football team. I rolled out of bed with coffee. It's like, that's what Denzel. Matter of fact, in this movie, his first question is, where's the coffee? Where's the coffee? It just bothered me so much.
You gotta have a coffee machine, right?
God. This movie was good, though. It was entertaining. I just don't know if I liked it. Does that make sense? It's like, I watched it. I would watch it again, but I don't know if I like it.
I definitely liked it way more watching this time than when I first saw it, I don't know why I just didn't get it. And I think it was mostly because I was so confused by the romance part. But when I was watching it this time, I like started to make up a story in my head. And then I was like, oh, this is actually really cool. Like, there's more going on here than the movie ever explains. At least that's what I want it to be.
Isn't Paula Patton in another Denzel movie as well?
Oh. Yeah, Two Guns.
Two Guns.
Mark Wahlberg. You guys didn't expect me to have all my shit together like this.
Listen.
Which is based on a comic book.
Yes, I do remember that. Oh, they're not black in the comic book. Okay. Oh, they are. No.
But Hollywood liked Denzel. They said, let's black it up.
He's wearing the same clothes in this movie as... All right, let's
But maybe those clothes were drawn in the... you know what I'm saying? They were illustrated. And
he definitely likes a good... Denzel likes a good loose button down.
Yo, this shit is crazy.
He does. He's hiding his dad bod a little bit.
Yo, this is crazy. Okay. Equalizer, he's wearing the same thing.
I think he's wearing a loose button down in...
they're all in, short sleeve.
In Magnificent Seven, I think he's wearing like a loose button down.
But he got a vest on.
In Magnificent Seven, he's still wearing...
Yeah, virtuosity, like a Hawaiian he had to wear
shirt
that.
And a vest.
Book of Eli, he got on a baggy button up. No. That's the end of the world. This shit is crazy.
Gerard, put your do-rag on, man. You gotta comb your hair.
Come on, man. No, this is the quarantine dude. This is the quarantine save-your-head dude. You know?
I like it. You see Anthony Anderson?
Oh, bruh.
Yeah.
The one thing I have learned about the famous black men during quarantine is everyone has gray hair. Mm-hmm. Like, Anthony Anderson has a full gray beard. Diddy has a full gray beard. Kevin Hart. I'm like, oh, we all just out here dying beards. Cool. So when I get gray, I'm ready. I'm ready for this.
My shit is just cut off. All of my shit, I look exactly the same in and out of quarantine. I look like I'm tired.
Nah, man, I ain't had a shape up anyway. I had to twist this to help preserve the top.
Okay.
You know, preserving the dew is what I'm trying to
do. I always look like a Bruce Willis at the beginning of a Die Hard movie. I'm always just like, kind of, I like really seriously don't really want to be here.
But you
do it.
Damn.
That's me. That's not about your guys' show. I love your show. I'm a huge fan. First time caller, long time listener.
How you going to say?
First time caller.
You going to say huge fan?
First time caller.
I've never seen your show.
You've made that abundantly clear. Big fan. Love you guys. You guys are great.
Any last deja vu? Like anything else that we haven't talked about that you wanted to talk about this movie? Anybody?
I mean, no,
I just think it's wild that he's the one that gets deja vu at the end, and also the promotional materials for this movie, like the trailer of this movie, just plays the last scene. Like the last scene of the movie was in all the trailers.
It was. Also, it doesn't make sense. Like, it doesn't make sense that that's when he's getting deja vu. That should be the first time they're ever experiencing.
Yeah, what?
It's not deja vu. Like, there's no way they got to this moment before.
No, but he has deja vu because of the song that plays.
Oh, the
song. Yeah.
Which is crazy because, you know what's funny? When that moment happened, I kept going, I know this is probably deja vu because of the song. I don't remember this song, and I don't remember the song wasn't that catchy to me.
Wasn't the song what that white dude on the ferry?
Yeah,
heard?
Yeah, the ferry heard.
Yeah, so yeah, it was playing in the car.
See, that goes to my theory then. Like, the only way for him to have heard that song or feel like that's deja vu is because
he's gone through this.
He's gone to the ferry before and died.
Like,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Which it's a weird thing, but if he's done that, how did he ever? But I guess he started a cycle.
And you know why? The song wasn't memorable enough. They should have used In the Club from 50 Cent like they did for Happy Death Day.
Oh,
remember Happy Death Day?
Yo, that's a good movie. That's a good movie.
And when they kept using, like, it's your birthday or something that. Like,
That's a good movie.
But what's funny is when you watch the movie, they use a totally different song.
Oh, yeah.
I forget what song they used
in Happy Death Day.
Happy Death Day.
Oh.
The sequel's pretty fun,
too. Yeah, they actually don't use, in the trailer, they use 50 Cent in the Go Shorty. Mm-hmm. I think it's that. But in the movie, I think it's probably like, I don't know, they might be giants or something.
I mean, normally I talk to Hollywood at this point, but in all honesty, I just want to see other people besides, like, I never want to take work away from black actors. I just want to see more black actors. And as much as I love seeing Denzel, Will, Michael B., you know, there's a plethora of other people who can lead a movie, you know? I just hope at one point after this quarantine and after all this Black Lives Matter that people will actually put up and give other black voices a chance, because it's just, there's so many stories that don't have to revolve around us being black or us dealing with the cops or like some type of traumatic stress from our past life of growing up black. I just want to hear more stories and see more black faces on screen in like, it's just so frustrating because I have no clue.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, man. I always wonder, it's like, you know, I wish we got celebrated. I wish our newer stars got celebrated the same way that Hollywood celebrates every new piece of white talent. Like, it bothers me that Timothy Chalamet is on the tips of people's lips, but Ashton Sanders isn't.
Makes no sense.
You know what I mean? And Ashton Sanders was the one in the Oscar award winning movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I guarantee you, and I'm not going to front on you, I have to look the boy's name up every time I see him because they don't put his face everywhere the way they should. Right. This guy is in an Oscar, probably his first movie maybe, or the first movie I ever heard about him in. And the guy's amazing. He's in the fucking so Wu-Tang. Good. Speaking of Denzel, he's in Equalizer 2.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why is the boy fashionable as fuck. His IMDb shit is on fleek. Yeah. You know what I mean? Why is this young man not on the covers of magazines for no reason? Right. The same way you got Timothy Chalamet on the covers of magazines for no reason. You know what I mean? They don't put us out there unless we have to defy everything. We have to be the absolute toppity-toppity-top to get the same attention. And that's why we aren't mentioned as quickly, because, you know, you'll have like Gwyneth Paltrow or whoever the hell on the cover of some shit with no new movie out. But you don't have Angela Bassett on the cover of some shit with no new movie out.
Yeah.
You know, we're not looked at in the same way, and that is extremely frustrating. And I don't have any helpful answer at the end of this sentence.
Yeah, that's real.
You know what I was thinking while I was watching Deja Vu? I'm gonna be real quick.
All right.
But like, you know how like this movie starts one way, but then at the end of it, you're like, dang, they time traveling? But like that was like set up throughout. Like you start to get like little hints of it. And then the payoff is you actually see that happen, right? I just feel like Hancock, when out of nowhere, you know, he's an Egyptian god and like, you know, or like a mythic creature, you know, like I just feel like that wasn't set up. Like I feel like that wasn't, you know, I felt like it could have been something a little bit more clear.
I was going to ask you guys.
Confusing everyone, James.
That just was what I was thinking while I was
watching. Hancock isn't
good. Hancock's like not, it's not good.
Yes.
I just realized.
Yeah, James.
Are you doing a, what?
He does a
Is this
bit.
A thing he does every episode yes. about Hancock?
Yes. He used to he used to think it was good. Now I guess he thinks it's bad.
I like Hancock from what I remember because Hancock is also one of the few original story superhero movies made in Hollywood. True. It's one of the only, like, other than I think
Wait, what?
Maybe Super?
Oh no.
Yeah, Hancock is an original story about
Okay.
You guys got to read the original
The real screenplay.
Script.
I have
so
it.
Good.
Yeah, I have it.
The original screenplay it's is not, so wait, good.
It's not good.
You didn't like the original screenplay?
Okay, then I changed my mind. Maybe Hancock is great.
James, thank you, Malcolm. I don't care about your opinion.
But I'm telling you, I'm saying thank you.
Oh, Lord.
But, you know, riding for Hancock.
For Hancock.
John, set up the boat, please.
Okay, it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood.
Why would you show your face, James? Now?
Get the fuck off.
Why would you show
James?
Your face now, dude?
Why I gotta now, show, James?
I gotta
you
show my
done
rating
this the whole time. You could have done this.
Your
the
screen
whole
is moving fine,
time.
James.
No, the whole time you could have done this. All right.
Dang.
Okay. We're going to put up our ratings. If you think this film fully helped the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood, we give it a black fist. If we think it somewhat helped the cause, give it a white palm. If you think, I don't know, I feel like this film didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. Okay?
This is a horrible rating system.
Come on, man. This is beautiful.
It doesn't make any
Come
sense.
Come on, man. It's beautiful.
We made this 5 years ago when we thought 50 people would listen to this podcast, and then we got stuck with it.
Guys, you're getting hugely popular now.
Yeah, at least 500 people listen.
Yeah.
Guys,
oh my gosh.
I'm on the show. You guys have a huge outreach. You know what I mean?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
Yeah. I give it a black fist. How? Oh, wait. How does this work?
Oh, that's all right. You gave it a black fist. What are we
Maybe
doing?
Not.
Everybody else.
I gave black fist, baby, all day, every day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I gave it a black fist too, okay.
Listen, all day.
No,
I was really
no,
close
Jonathan,
to giving it a pop.
No, Jonathan, because you opened with, we give it nothing, Jonathan.
James,
that's why
what you give
I don't even trust your whole word. You sound like white people here, Black Lives Matter. I heard
I
you at
gave
the beginning.
A black fist.
Too bad we couldn't see it, James.
Fuck you, James.
This is the most on-brand thing that has happened on the podcast.
And it was so easy. Malcolm picked up on it so easy. That's the thing.
Malcolm ain't know, he ain't know it was a bit when
like
it
this,
started.
It just started like that. So it's not
he
just us.
He didn't know it was a bit. He was like, cool, I'm going to just.
James, we can't see you, dude. And then you appeared for 5 seconds and just went away again.
I went away because you're not looking at the chat, but Sam told me to just use the chat. Yeah, I don't need to say this.
Why are you saying this? Is this
Talk
your
about
show?
Our rating.
Here's the other thing. James is the one who reached out to me to do this goddamn show, and then I do it, and I don't even see this motherfucker. I just see his monogrammed Zoom towels on here, whatever the hell this is, James the Third.
Oh, man.
Also, how is your name James the Third? What are you, just the third James?
Man, yeah, that's right. I'm just the third James ever. I've been around for a minute.
He time travels. What you don't know is that James has lived a long life. Okay.
What is your last name? You don't use
it's
your last
the
name.
The third.
You're a rapper?
He's like Madonna.
What's funny is he's James Third the First. That's the crazy
right. Oh, that's true. Whoa.
That's
that
deep.
Actually blew my mind.
That's deep.
Yeah. James III the first.
Thank you.
All right. here we go. Yeah, wait, why did everybody give it a fist?
I don't know, Denzel's in it.
It's the...
Isn't that a reason to give it a palm? Because I was feeling like, you know, yeah, Denzel's in it, but at this point, my man had been in 1,000 movies, and then, like, Paula Patton is barely in it. I mean, she got a thing, but like, she didn't get enough to like really.
I know.
I think it's a complex sci-fi movie that keeps me thinking. So
that's true.
I mean, and I can keep creating stories based off of this movie, and the stories that I create in my head that you just created like satisfy me. They satiate me. So that's amazing. And also, it is one of the few black time travel movies.
So true.
There's like. This one.
There's and Time
it's
Jumpers.
This one and Men in and this film Time Jumpers. You made up Time Jumpers going into the past.
Time Jumpers.
I've seen Reset. I've seen it. It's good.
And Men and then technically Men in Black 3 is
Men in
a
Black
time 3. Travel
movie. This very, but, yeah.
That's it. Wait, what was I going to say that? Oh, right. The other woman in this movie is also a black woman, which that was cool.
Khadijah.
I wanted to talk about that. Erica Alexander is in this movie. Living Single is in this movie. Who's amazing. And it's like, that's another actress where it's just like, one, she never ages. Oh, your crew is, look, you guys got to get the fuck out of here. I'm going to talk a whole lot. But anyway, she never ages. And she's not Khadijah. That was Queen Latifah.
Oh, shit. She was, Oh shit! I'm
Maxine Negrams.
If we don't remember, how is wife Polk supposed to remember? That's why Friends came out immediately after.
True,
because y'all don't know Khadijah from Maxine.
I know. God, and they should have kept the title Friends too. Then what would Friends be known as? Nothing. Nothing.
You know, Living Single came first, right?
Yeah, yeah, and it was called Friends too, or it was supposed to be.
Was it called Friends?
It was called Friends. It was called Friends, but they changed the title. Mm-hmm.
Yo, and then they had like a male Living Single with the brother from A Different World, and I think Hardison or somebody was in it. It was like, I can't remember what it was. It might have been called Brothers or some shit.
Brothers, yes. I think.
Now they got a show coming out called
Bruh. Liked that show.
Y'all heard about the new called show, Bruh? It's Tyler Perry's show.
Yeah, that's Tyler Perry. That's TP, baby.
Bruh.
That's the thing, man. We gotta out black our shit so much just so white people understand why we're doing this. They're like, okay, is it really black? All right, well, okay. Don't just be regular black people just doing shit.
Oh, God.
Love it.
Bruh.
Thanks so much, Malcolm, for coming on, man. Where can people find you and stuff? Do you want people to find you online?
Do you want people?
Man, like... I mean, here's how I view fame, right? Like, I've done enough. Like, this ain't gonna make me famous.
He's like, I saw no
what
new
you
engagement.
Mean, man? What you mean?
I did that show. I saw negative engagement.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm Verbal the Rapper, Malcolm Barrett. I got some albums out. I got rap albums. I got a band called Verbal and Icarus. We got an album out called Funhouse, our former album Sin City. What else? I don't know, man. I got a theater company called Ammunition Theater, devoted to uplifting underrepresented voices, which usually translates into women, people of color, black folks, Mexicans, everybody. I don't know, man, whatever. I feel like, I'll do a movie and then people know other shit I'm doing.
That's dope.
Yeah, but our fans are special.
Listen,
your fans are special. They're beautiful. And in all honesty, this is the only sincere, thing that I'm going to say today, which is, I'm really glad that you guys reached out and, to me to have me on the show. I really am proud of the work that you guys did on Astronomy Club. I'm really proud that you guys have this show and, I'm just happy to be a part of it. You guys ever want to reach out to me,
let me know. I think we just need to help each other and promote each other. And you guys are beautiful and funny. And let's keep it on and keep on moving. And I can't wait to see the next great venture you guys have.
Oh, man. Thank you, man.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, fucking surprised you.
Yeah, you did.
Look at
that. See, you did. Okay.
Soft ass, silly motherfucker.
Well, well, everybody else, you can find us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Blackmenpodcast.com.
Are you promoting your own shit on your show?
You know, we promote our social handles, you know, so people can follow us. When we tweet stuff, more people see it.
Okay, I'm at Malcolm Barrett or at Verbal the Rapper.
Oh, okay, I like that.
Yeah, I'm at John Braylock. James.
James Third Comedy. Third is 3RD.
And I'm at Gerard Milligan.
Here's the thing, though. Are people watching this who don't follow you? Is that what it is?
Well, we don't even show this footage, really.
Yes.
I know, because more people listen to this than I have followers on Twitter, so I'm going to keep saying it until...
John wants to check. Oh, wait. John wants that check.
I got to see, and I also admire you guys, because I'm trying to get into the casting game, the podcasting game. Oh, that's a new thing that I can talk about. I started a live IG show called Going Live with Malcolm with Malcolm. So that's a thing.
That's fun.
So by this time, I will have had on my show Brandon Scott, who's on Dead to Me, You're Dead Like Me, or some shit. He's also my band member, Icarus, in Verbal and Icarus. I will have had Marquis Richardson from Dear White People. And tomorrow, but what will be last week, because we're in Deja Vu, I will and have had Ahmed Best, who is Jar Jar Binks. Also Ahmed Beck.
Wow.
Also, he has a brand new show called Jedi Temple. He's a friend of mine and also in my theater company. But it's a Star Wars children game show. And he is probably I know we all know John Boyega, but he is the first black number one lead in the Star Wars universe. And he's a producer on it as well. So it's really cool. So by the time this airs, I think probably one episode will have aired of his show on, I think, YouTube Kids or Star Wars Kids or something like that. And then after that, I will have had, or am going to have, either and Jonathan Slavin from Better Off Ted and Yvette Nicole Brown from Community and Avengers.
Dope.
And has a show called The Fib or Great Fib or something.
Yeah, she has a show on Disney Plus as well.
Yeah.
Dope.
Hell yeah. All right.
That's lit.
This is me plugging my black people.
Yes. Honestly, yes, man.
You should. And the last thing I'll do is, if you rate and review us, give us 5 stars on iTunes, we read your reviews on the air. This one is from Danger Cat. It's pretty simple. Very good. These guys are smart and good and funny and good. Much recommendation.
All right. Yeah.
I love that. That's hilarious.
Great.
And then, awesome. this one is Nicknames Are Dumb 2011. Funny and thoughtful. Great perspective to hear about movies while also funny as hell. Love it. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.